Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. I am Billy Embody. Thanks for listening. With me is Shay Dixon to recap another busy week of LSU recruiting. No home game, obviously, to go through some of the visitors this past weekend as LSU played at Auburn. There were some prospects, including LSU commit Deron Reed, that made it to Auburn. A couple other prospects LSU's in on that were on the planes to catch LSU's win, which was nice for the Tigers to go ahead and come back and beat the home Tigers in Auburn, impress a little bit more as SEC play goes on. But Shay, we're going to kind of keep it in the now, in the present, which is now a top 25 matchup in Baton Rouge, LSU, Tennessee, but it's at 11 a.m. This is a weekend that we had circled for a while as being a big visit weekend, multiple official visitors, but now LSU's kind of dealt a tough hand with the 11 a.m. start time. Guys can't necessarily take a red eye into Baton Rouge or New Orleans and get there in time for that 11 a.m. kick from across the country. So that really impacts their plans, but they are still having one big official visitor. What did you hear on your end as, you know, they got the game time? Obviously, it was a disappointing part of it all. And how did the staff adjust?
Yeah, I mean, this was a bummer for them because the reality is kids can't hop on a flight and, you know, Friday night play a game, Saturday get on a flight, get into New Orleans, get in a rental car, drive over to Baton Rouge all before, not even kickoff. They'd like them to be there an hour before, you know, so you're on the field with them and they get to watch warmups or 2 hours before and they go down to the Tiger Walk. So to have kids in for 9 a.m. is really tough. So largely the visitor list got ripped apart, right? And then it became scrambling to say, okay, can you come for the Ole Miss game instead later in the month? Do you come for Bama? Whenever it might be, do you come after the season? So they're trying to, I mean, they were trying to get all that figured out this week. I will say, Billy, still an okay visitor list. Some notable kids are coming in, but mostly kids who either A, are on a bye. Okay, well, I guess there'd be a few little levels here. One, you're playing on Thursday night, which is what the official visitor is doing. We'll talk about a local game on ESPN Thursday night coming up. Two, you're on a bye. Or three, your team's on fall break right now, or like your school's on fall break. So there are some kids coming from different pockets of the country for those reasons, but the visitor list will be a tenth of what it could be, Billy. And that stings. Like you said, we had heard this staff talk in the summer about, we're inviting all the kids in for that Tennessee game. That will be the big game. Tennessee never gets to play here. The stadium will be rocking, and boom, what do you know? It's 11 a.m.
Yeah, not easy, but I mean, nothing you can really do about it. You know, credit to the staff for continuing to, you know, chip away at these guys. I feel like, especially in state, they've done a really good job of getting these guys on campus for multiple games.
For sure.
Which is always a good sign. You can kind of continue that momentum. But the big one that's coming in, and it's kind of intriguing recruitment overall, one that has been kind of quiet. He doesn't do many interviews. And we've also seen it kind of take a little bit of different momentum with different schools throughout the recruitment. And that's Tausili Akana coming in this weekend, edge rusher, somebody that kind of is a little bit of a tweener, honestly, if you're asking me. You know, he's about 6'3", 210. He's a top 100 prospect on the On3 consensus. He's from Hawaii originally. Plays for Sky Ridge in Utah, though. This is somebody that has already taken an official visit to Texas. The Longhorns had a lot of momentum, and honestly, he could still end up in Austin. But LSU's recruited him for a long time, Brian Polian especially. Matt House has been involved, and they have a lot of edge rushers on board and ones that they're already recruiting. It'll be interesting to see if Akana got into the class, where he'd fit in, whether that's linebacker or an edge rusher spot. But nonetheless, they're bringing him in for an official visit. That was supposed to be this summer. They ended up pushing it back. And now we'll kind of see how it goes and if LSU does really, you know, turn up the heat for him.
Yeah, this is a kid who, like you said, born in Hawaii. Then he had played at Wasatchi in Utah as a sophomore, and then he was at Sky Ridge as a junior. He's back at Sky Ridge as a senior. But he's got a sister that plays volleyball, scholarship volleyball at Nebraska. Might not seem like a big deal, but anyone who knows anything about volleyball, I don't. I Google all this stuff. But Nebraska sold out every volleyball game, Billy, since 2001, I think it was. So has some athletes, bloodlines in the family. He's a big-time prospect. You mentioned kind of a tweener. They're recruiting him as an edge-type guy. You mentioned being rated on the On3 consensus as a top 100 guy, a top 15 edge rusher. And, Billy, I think people are asking us, well, I'm looking at the commit list, and they've got a borderline five-star edge rusher in Joshua Mickens, top 30 player in the country, another top 50 edge rusher in Deshaun Womack, another top 50 edge rusher in Joshua Mickens, another four-star top 300 edge rusher in Jackson Howard, who was kind of a tight end and moved over and wants to play on the defensive line. Why do they need more edge rushers? I get the sense this staff is just going to continue to recruit as many guys as they think are good football players as they can. Then you see where the dominoes fall because, look, you may be 4-1 right now and your class looks great and everything's sitting pretty. You could go on a run. You could end up 6-6 or whatever. And then you lose a couple kids and all of a sudden you're saying, man, I wish we would have, you know, recruited everyone across the board as heavily as we were back in the summer months. So I like this approach of just continuing to go after all these guys. And this is official visit number one, Billy. This is, or not like of the year, but of the football season. They have not done any official visitors until now.
Yeah. And it's a good one. I think, like you said, you got to continue to recruit a lot of these guys and kind of like cover your tail a little bit just because you never know in recruiting. And we say that a lot. This isn't a guy that they're bringing in because at this point they feel like one of the three guys are going to go elsewhere and they're going to move on. You know, Mickens has been pretty locked in. Jackson Howard's been locked in. Deshaun Womack's been locked in. I also think it's a good depth play. You know, I mean, people always say, oh, what do they have behind B.J. Ojulari and Ollie Gay? And, you know, Savion Jones has come on, of course, but you just don't really know outside of that what you have. Harold Perkins has been in the edge role a little bit, but he's a linebacker. So this is somebody that is going to take an Oklahoma official visit from what we've heard later this month, apparently. And then Texas A&M is also in the mix for an official. Who knows? One of these schools out west could be really involved.
He was at the Texas Bama game.
Yep. I'm really interested to see how this recruitment goes because it seems like he can go a bunch of different ways. He's one that plays it close to the vest. LSU has recruited him for a while. They've had him in Baton Rouge over the summer for an unofficial visit. Now they bring him in, see where it goes. And because you don't have a signing limit, you can just take him and see, obviously, if that, you know, impacts one of your other edge, you know, players, that's an unintended consequence. But all those guys are all really good. They've got to have confidence in themselves. They can just honestly stay. And, you know, Akon is just the fourth in that mix. But, you know, they're recruiting Nicholas Harbor. They are recruiting Sam and Pemba. It's going to be really interesting to see where it goes. If they were to get Akana, obviously those are guys you take no matter what, but then at that point it's five edge rushers. It'd be kind of
Jane Wayne's the guy they've still been after. I mean, there's a bunch of D linemen out there they're still after, but hey, more power to Jamar Cain. Just keep recruiting him. It doesn't matter. See what happens. So I like the approach. And again, this is the kind of guy I would have on an official visit during the season. Like, don't bring the number one target on your, like a Toviano. Like, I wouldn't fall in love if he had an official visit during the season because he plays Friday night, then he gets in late, then you have a game, then you're not spending a lot of time with him. Like, save that for after the year. This is the perfect type of, hey, he plays Thursday, he'll fly in Friday, he'll kind of hang around everybody, he'll be there Saturday morning already on campus, and you take it from there. So I like it. I like only having one official this weekend. I think that makes it a bit easier. And then I like that it's a guy like this, kind of a fringe guy that's not make or break to getting him in the class or not from Louisiana, all of that kind of stuff. So, Billy, we let off and we talked about it, kind of got the initial plan visitor list got printed out and then ripped up and thrown on the ground and redone. But two guys, one from your neck of the woods, another that you've flown down and covered, that you've kind of followed both their recruitments closely, Jaylen Brown and Kyle Parker, are actually both set to be here this weekend. Reactions when you hear that, like when I heard that, I said, those two alone would be a good visitor list on a week. If your visitor list got completely scrapped, getting those two guys alone for me would have done it. Like that's a very nice haul to bring them in.
Yeah. And, you know, Jaylen Brown took that official visit to Texas A&M earlier this year, but then pretty much tweeted right after it, Baton Rouge, I'll be back soon. Sure enough, coming in for the Tennessee game. I still think he's a guy that's probably going to take another official visit or two. His dad and his family really just want him to enjoy the process of taking official visits. And, you know, he's made it back. I think this will be his second LSU game. So you like to see that. He's been pretty locked in and straight up with the staff on other visits. But to get him back in Baton Rouge is a great thing. Obviously can only help keep him on board. And he's having a really good season in Miami. And then Kyle Parker, who, you know, Lovejoy, he had that incredible game earlier in the season. And Lovejoy's been kind of on a run. I think they've won their last two games by like a lot to very little. So it's kind of been a little bit of a drop off in production from what I've seen, at least. But I was told by one of the staffers at Lovejoy that Alabama has actually reached out about Kyle Parker, get his track times, get his measurables, which was an interesting tidbit.
Billy, don't drop that on the pod. They're going to freak out.
No, we want them to discuss. But
okay. But you want them to be listening to the pod because this is where you can get some and then come to the board for the full breakdown.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing with Kyle Parker. Texas is still in contact. I don't know. I'm not saying Alabama's going to offer, but they inquired about him, and they've already got a couple of good receivers, I believe, committed and all that. So
yeah, Bama took all Texas good receivers, so Texas is the one that's hurting.
Yeah. So Texas is definitely desperate. I still maintain, and from what checking around and all that, that he's pretty locked in with LSU. I mean, it would probably take a, you know, real big change for him to not end up in Baton Rouge. Obviously, he's got family ties down here in Louisiana. So Kyle Parker just having a huge year and getting, you know, the recognition and the, you know, attention from college coaches, though, that he deserves. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see college coaches completely drop off and say, all right, well, you went to LSU and there's no reason for me to keep recruiting you because you're a fringe guy for me. He's been backing it up on the field this season and getting rewarded for it. Great sign to get him back in Baton Rouge and really like where LSU stands, keeping both those guys. Another one that kind of surprises me, we kind of flip on the opposite end of the spectrum about as far away from signing as you can go, Jet White, which, first of all name team right away.
NIL incoming.
Yeah. 2025 USC commit, who actually committed to SC over a year ago in September. So September 2021.
Before his freshman year even started.
Yeah. So West Coast guy from Orange, California, a top 50 prospect on the On3 consensus, picked up an LSU offer, I believe last week, maybe a week and a half ago.
It was last week, yeah.
And he's really tight with Dalen Austin, LSU's four-star defensive back commit. They trained together. Jet told us that he considers Dalen a mentor to him. So not sure if Dalen's going to end up making it. I think he might have had his plans impacted, but – big news for Jet White to come to town right after getting an offer. That's the type of stuff you want to see. And obviously his recruitment's a ways out, but good to get him on campus.
Yeah, we'll give you one more here. It's not a deep list and it'll grow as the week goes on, but we do have some confirmed names in already. Another from a future class, not too far away though, 2024. So current junior in high school and not from too far away. Juwan Johnson over at LCA. He's been playing quarterback for them. They put their best athlete there, but we both saw him at summer camp, Billy, and thought he looked really good. He worked with the defensive backs. He worked with guys, Dalen Austin, all those guys were there actually at the same time. And I thought that he looked really, really strong. He's got an offer. Bama's offered. A&M's offered. Georgia's offered. Mickey Joseph at Nebraska offered over the summer. So he had a busy stretch, and I know LSU's it may sound like a given. Oh, he's from 30 minutes away. He can come whenever. Like, LSU's pretty excited to get him to campus because they want to chip away early here, knowing what the competition is that I just laid out of the number of schools that are going to be on Juwan coming out of LCA. Again, only a junior, long way to go, but this is when you want to start stacking up those visits.
Yeah, I like the move to get him in. He's got a green light to come whenever he wants. In my books, he was really, really quick, really laterally explosive in camp. Looks like a great option at nickel for LSU. So they're hoping to, you know, get him on board. They only have one 2024 prospect from Louisiana committed. And actually, it's a good segue because
that was beautiful, Billy.
I went and saw Xavier Adkins. I went out to Jonesboro Hodge, watched them play Pineville on Thursday night last week. And Xavier Adkins really impressed me. You know, I think his speed and acceleration, especially straight line, is really, really impressive. If you check out the highlights from the game on the Bengal Tiger YouTube, another plug to subscribe and check out the YouTube channel, you can really see that just a straight line guy. I mean, he could probably play a little bit of like an edge rusher role if need be, but he projects as an off the ball linebacker. He played defense, offense, special teams for Jonesboro Hodge, took a screen pass to the house to put the game on ice, had two big kick returns, and just kind of was all over the place, making plays throughout the night. I think, you know, one thing I'd like to see is just if he only played defense, would that help him just a little bit in terms of consistency and tackling and things like that? I think laterally, he's going to continue to work on that and improve. Physically, he looks really, really good. You could tell he bulked up a little bit since I saw him at Under Armour Dallas in March. So a really impressive prospect, somebody that is just on the fringe of being a four-star. I could see him creeping into that four-star range. Overall, just really impressed with what I saw, and a kid who's definitely excited to be an LSU Tiger. I can tell you that much. He's all about it, and you know, just a big building block, I think, in the class of 2024 in Louisiana.
You want to start stacking up these Louisiana guys early. I'm telling you, for that's the goal for this staff, so you don't find yourself. And they were obviously new, but working from behind like they had to with the 2023 class. You want to go ahead and start getting ahead. Was it Southern Classic Chicken? I can't remember. Where did everyone have you going up in Jonesboro?
Yeah, Southern Classic Chicken. It was fantastic. Great posting.
And you were up against the clock. They were posting in the live thread, Billy, leave the game to get there before it closes. We don't care about what this future LSU prospect looks like. Go over and get you some chicken.
They were. I will say, it's funny. I saw McKinney High in Dallas play against Denton Braswell on Friday night. And McKinney has a couple of 2024s that LSU's on. One has an offer, Xavier Filasami, and a couple other guys they're monitoring. But Texas high school football, for those that don't follow it, usually has about a 40-minute halftime. And that's to allow the bands to play.
That's so longer than college. Double.
It was such a stark change of obviously timing, because I think I left the game having interviewed Xavier and Coach Blake Blankenship afterwards. And I was out of the parking lot by about 9:25 and at Southern Classic Chicken at 9:30. It was about 5 minutes down the road. So I was at about 10:45 out of that McKinney.
Yeah. I love that you get to do a little border hopping here in between Louisiana and Texas and see the difference, because I can remember Barton Simmons, and we'd worked with him at 24/7. Obviously, he's no longer in the biz. Well, he is in the biz. He's just on the football college side at Vanderbilt. But it was probably one of the first times he had come down and went to high school football games around Louisiana. And it was so funny. We had taken him to New Orleans. We might have gone by Aug in the car or whatever. And the look on his face, and he was like, I don't even think they've cut the grass like to practice. And I was like, nah, bro, who needs to cut the grass? They're out here just balling. Who cares about it? And then I could remember him, even with his evaluations as time went on, he would say things like, kids from California are tapped out. They've already worked out too much. They're playing on the best turf. You know, and he's like, I want a Louisiana kid who, you know, they may or may not have lifts this week. The grass didn't get cut. They worked on some schools, and in the air at New Orleans can work on their intro into the game out of the tunnel more than they will what's actually going to go on in the game, and still kick your you know what during the game. So I like that you get to experience both, because I'm all about the Louisiana side. I love it. The, hey, we're just here to play ball mentality.
So I love it too, because so I was supposed to be, if we recall last week's pod, supposed to be in Vegas Friday night to see Jeremiah Hughes. And Jeremiah texted me while I was at Xavier Atkins' game and said, Mr. Embody, just letting you know, I'm going to sit at, coach is going to have me like take a week off, take a week or two off, you know, rest up for playoffs, make sure I'm good to go, all that. And Gorman's loaded. I mean, they're not going to need him. But first of all, I had to cancel all the flights and everything going out to Vegas on Friday. Then secondly, I had to find a game to go to on Friday. Normally, I would have gone to a Louisiana game in North Louisiana or something, because you don't need press passes. Like, you don't at
just
all.
Walk right out.
Walk not right out. We've got a nice media badge from On3, and you just roll right in. And I will say the differences between the game. I mean, Jonesboro, right in the, you know, basically the middle of Louisiana, had the field that kind of had the definite the slope off to the edge to let the rain run off.
That's called nice irrigation. Yep. Go ahead.
And then Friday night was McKinney's game, which is in a, I think it was like a $35 million stadium that probably seats 20,000.
All those boys are tapped out.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say McKinney's staff is doing a great job there. They've really been on the rise, but enough of that. One game that will get a ton of attention on a national level is Thursday night, ESPNU, 7 p.m. Central. LSU quarterback commit Ricky Collins going to lead that Woodlawn team against Zachary, Kylan Jackson. I think Eli Holstein's still hurt. Ashley Williams. We'll have guys there. Big deal in Baton Rouge.
So obviously, after Arch Manning, the top two quarterbacks in the state are Ricky, who's committed to LSU, and Eli, who's committed to Bama. Eli had an injury to his non-throwing shoulder, supposed to be out about a month. There's some buzz around town that, like, he's obviously trying to get back for Thursday night. You'd love to see him get back so you could see a game that featured Baton Rouge's two best quarterbacks that are both going to SEC schools, one being LSU, one being Bama. And it's on ESPN, like, that's headline material. So wishing the best for Eli on that front. I'd love to see him be able to get out there. But regardless, Zachary's a great team. Tough challenge for Woodlawn, but gives you a chance to be on national TV. That's great for everybody in Baton Rouge, for both those programs. So, yeah, we'll have Peter out there, as you mentioned, Router Coast from the site. It'll be a good game. What did you say? Is it on ESPN2 or news? Or
it's on the U. It's on the U. Is that how I do that? The U, all about the U is all
okay.
About.
ESPNU.
ESPNU.
6 o'clock, and it's Thursday. You said that, but reminder, Thursday. So
Thursday, 7 Central. It's that rare, like, college football gets that 6 p.m. Central kick, but I think the high school on Thursday night on ESPNU gets the straight 7 o'clock Central kick. At least what I Googled on, I think it was WFA.
They got a better draw than LSU Tennessee.
I mean, I know. LSU Tennessee should have just said, you know what, let's go short here. Let's throw it on the U at 7 o'clock. It would have been the most.
Zachary and Woodlawn, you're off. We're on. We're playing on ESPN on Thursday night.
Most viewers ESPNU's had in a decade, but except on signing day. Then Peter's also going to be out seeing Rummel, John Curtis as well. So shout out Peter. He's been grinding, getting you guys a ton of highlights and content on LSU commits targets in Louisiana, especially. In South Louisiana. And yeah, guys, so that's about it. That was a good one. We rolled through that. I mean, who needs, you know, to recap a home visitor slate from a week ago?
Yeah, true. I like the road games. We just move right ahead.
It's a nice break for us in a way.
It is. Freshens up the pod. Nothing, no new commits since we last did a pod. The new On3 consensus rankings came out today. They're still ranked number 6. So we didn't miss anything in terms of updates there for y'all. Status quo, number 6 class in the country, 22 commits. And you mentioned earlier, for those that heard him say it and don't understand, you can sign as many people as you want right now. It's like, remember when you used to could only sign 25 and that was a cap. Then they added transfers. Well, then it was you can replace up to 7 guys with transfers. Now you can just sign as many as you want. But when you start the season, you have to be under 85 scholarship players. So basically it leaves it up to every school to sort of do the math after the season on who left the team, who's coming back, who you're bringing in, and then kind of what you can do in the portal from there.
Correct. All right. For Shea Dixon, I'm Billy Embody. Please subscribe to thebengaltiger.com. $1 for a year. Still rolling on. Had people jump on board. It's time to let's ramp that up again. Got to pump those numbers up. Excited for, obviously, the Tennessee game. You got Ole Miss. You got quite the run, for LSU home games. So a lot of recruits, a lot of visitor reactions. Definitely jump on board. So $1 for a year. Take advantage of it. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Do all those things. We appreciate all you guys who have subscribed and also have supported the YouTube channel and all of our podcast pages as well. So with that, we're going to close this one out. For Shea Dixon, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast.